T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And the ball game is over. Red Sox win it 7-5.
That's my first team win as a starter, so it's baby steps, it's baby step.
Dale Arnold.
I can't expand on Chris, you know, with the organization already talk about it. Yeah, Nate will pitch game 3.
Rich Keefe.
The kick on the way from Gostkowski. Up and good. Steven Gostkowski wins the shootout for the New England Patriots.
Dale and Keefe, middays.
They've cleared all the cats.
Specifically cats.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Obviously, I'm not counting championship nights. You know, the night that the Bruins won the Stanley Cup, or the Celtics won the NBA title, or the Sox won the World Series. Outside of championship nights, that might be the best sports night I can remember in Boston.
I can't think of one better. I really can't. I mean, there's been a lot of good ones. We've been very fortunate over the last 20 years. And there's definitely been, you know, I know a lot of people were talking about 2013. You had the Ken Burrell Tompkins catch and the Patriots win over the Saints. And then you also had the David Ortiz home run into the bullpen where Torrey Hunter did the flip into the – that was a great day.
Now those, but they didn't go head-to-head.
No, you weren't forced into – having two TVs or a TV and a tablet, or
that was the first time I've ever had to do that. Where
really?
I had the baseball game up on the big screen.
So you're listening to Anderson and Darling.
I had my iPad in my lap.
Yes.
And then when baseball would go to commercial, I'd flip it over on the big screen so I could listen.
You know what I didn't care for is that on the tablet, 30-second delay.
Oh, it was a big delay,
30-second delay. You'd flip over, and you're like, oh, wow, we're ahead.
It worked out well if you wanted to see a play again.
That's true.
If you were watching on the big screen, and they'll say, let's take a look at that again.
But I think that's what everybody was doing. They were trying to figure out, and I saw on Twitter, a lot of people had the great two-TV setup. I'm very jealous of that. I was thinking about, I'm like, do I move a TV into another room? I'm like, that's just too much of a pain.
Well, you have to run a cable from the other room.
It's a whole to-do. So I ended up just doing the tablet.
I get too confused.
You get too confused.
I don't like. I don't like watching both. I can't watch them both at the same time.
Are you kidding?
I go
me?
Back and forth.
So that was last
but
week.
I did. But
were
I,
you able to
I,
do it?
I had
were you confused?
To. I had to.
Were you
I mean,
confused, or were you able to wrap your mind around it?
It helped because I was only listening to one at a time.
Yeah, you can't do double sound. Double sound is chaos. I tried doing that for a little bit because there was a couple of plays. I actually went sound on the baseball game. I think it was because it was the playoffs.
That's what I was doing.
It started first, and I went with that. But then every once in a while, I'd see something on the football game, and I'd want to turn the sound up to see what they were talking about. And then it was just too much. Then you got Collinsworth talking to Brian Anderson, and it was confusing. But just a hell of a night, and the outcome that you wanted for both games. And they were both competitive. You couldn't have asked for anything more than that.
Saturday afternoon when we were on the air at the Garden for the Bruins game, I said, the Bruins game is the hors d'oeuvre.
Yes.
The two Red Sox games are the entree, and then the Patriots should be the dessert.
Sounds about right.
You only lost one of the four.
You lost one, that early entree.
You lost the one with Chris Sale that I didn't expect you to lose.
Oh, my
but,
God. How did he look? Not great.
He was flipping 75-mile-an-hour Frisbees up there because that was all he had.
That's all he had. Now, one of my key conspiracy on this, I have nothing to base this on, but this is my guess, is when we saw him against the Yankees, he probably got cortisone shots and like everything else you could possibly put into him and to try to get him ready to go, and he looked pretty good against the Yankees. And then I wonder if he comes back out and he says, you know what, I feel pretty good, doesn't go through the same protocol as he did before, because he was throwing low 90s, couldn't locate, hit a guy.
I thought the first inning, when I saw the speeds in the very first inning, I went, this is not going to be good.
Oh, boy.
And then it went down from there.
Yeah, no, that was not pretty. And then going up against Verlander, and they had a chance against Verlander, too. There was that one
Verlander
inning.
Verlander had that terrible inning.
Terrible inning, but he was able to fight through that. So, yeah, that was tough. And then, obviously, last night, David Price, all eyes on David Price. How is he going to do? Gets the game 2 start, which I didn't want. You didn't want. Nobody really wanted the game 2 start.
I wanted him to start game 4.
Yeah, Alex Cora is the only one who wanted him to start game 2. And I don't think he was great by any means, but they get the win. So they split, and they go back to Houston for tomorrow night. Some hairy moments, though.
At the risk of sounding like a Price apologist, and that's how it'll come off.
Positive Dale.
I only blame him for 2 of the 4. The home run, the Marwin Gonzalez home run, that's all on David Price.
Hit that to Harvard.
The first two runs, Xander Bogaerts, how about if you just make a play?
Yeah, I don't know what
on
Bogaerts
a ground
was
ball to
there.
Short. What the hell are you waiting for?
I don't know what he was doing and why he was like kind of Cadillac-ing it. Like you got to get it. You're
yeah,
so
let me just,
deep in the
let
hole.
Me just pound it a no, couple of times in the glove
have,
before
no,
I
no.
throw.
You don't have time to set yourself. You're not Drew Bledsoe back there. Just grab it and chuck it over there. So that was bad. But even early on, you know, he got out of sort of his own jam. I mean, he's a couple of guys on base in the first inning. He walked four. So he wasn't super sharp. And the fact that their bats came alive, that's the most important thing. You know, Gerrit Cole, I thought, was going to just mow him down. He mowed down the Indians in the last series.
And he gave up the most runs he's given up this year, last night.
Right. So they got to him. That was great to see. And yet it was still an insanely close game. Because David Price has lowered the bar so much that people, including those at Fenway Park, say 4 2/3, four runs, I'll take that. Do you know what that ERA is? If you take that,
it went up
7.71. I'm saying just for that.
But
game.
His ERA for this year went up last night.
Oh yeah. I'm just saying for the game.
Yeah.
Like so forget what his postseason is. Forget if you know. Don't throw out the Yankee game just for the game alone last night, because people are trying to determine. Well, you know what was that start? Was it average? Was it slightly above average? No. It was 7.71 was his ERA. And you're right, Bogaerts should have made a play. And George Springer didn't exactly rip the cover off it for the RBI.
Yeah, down
but
the
hey,
first baseline.
But
it was
hey,
like
that happens. You know, you get some plays like that. And then Marwin Gonzalez with the home run. And then fifth inning comes around. He's got two outs. He obviously needs one more out to qualify for his first ever win as a starter. I thought it was the right call.
I thought he took him out too soon.
Really?
I would have given him another batter.
I would not.
Now,
not that batter.
Now, he's obviously the one paid to make all those decisions.
Yeah.
And hindsight being 20/20, he was brilliant again because the bullpen performed for him.
If the
bullpen did not perform the way they did, we'd be killing him for taking him out too soon.
Well, no, and that's true. And that's the other thing is, you know, a couple of runners on there, and I'm just thinking, yeah, I'm sure Cora wants to get him the win and give him the confidence. And, you know, maybe in Price, you heard in the open talking about the baby steps and that, you know, the team actually got a win. So he had 10 games. He was 0-9. The team was 0-10 in 10 starts, which is outrageous. And then so the team gets a win. He doesn't. But I think it would have looked a whole lot worse if he gives it up there, or even if the game tying run is able to score. And I think that was going to happen. I don't think he was overly sharp by any means. He wasn't as bad as he was against the Yankees. Clearly, that would have been hard to do. But this wasn't a great start. It's still, every other start pretty much has been better, right? I mean, Nathan Eovaldi was better. Rick
I think
Porcello
I saw
was
the
better.
Stat last night of the 39. I think I saw the 39 performances in the playoffs that this would have been 29th out of the 39.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds about right. And then one of the other ones below it was one
him.
Of his. One of his.
Was him.
Right. So it was not pretty, but again, you're waiting for, or you're looking to see if the bats could win you a game. You know, can they hit? Because it can't always just come down to pitching. Like that, we're not, then you're giving excuses to the lineup that scored so many runs in the regular season. So for Mookie Betts to have a couple of doubles, score a couple of runs, drive in a run, that's exactly what you were looking for, and it bailed out David Price. And then the bullpen, which we all were worried about,
was
showed
nails.
Up and was great until Kimbrel, who is terrifying. What is he, Todd Jones now? Why is Kimbrel like this?
The only reason I felt better about Kimbrel at all was that the velocity was back.
Oh, he was hucking
99s, which we didn't see the last outing.
Yeah.
Which led me to believe maybe the arm feels a little better. The other stat that they gave, which was mind-boggling, he's so much worse when he's got a bunch of rest.
Isn't that weird?
The ERA with more rest as compared to the ERA
like
with 2 days
whatever,
rest.
Compared to 1.9 or something like that. Yeah, that was an odd stat. But at first he was throwing the ball really well. But then once you flipped it over to the top of the lineup, you said, uh-oh. And then even still, I mean, Benintendi had his back against
the wall.
I mean, that could have been the game right there. I mean, it was... He makes you nervous, and you know Matt Barnes pitched a lot better than I thought he would. Ryan Brazier looked
really good.
Your guy, Ryan Brazier, and then here comes Kimbrel
and Porcello. By the way,
oh Porcello
is brilliant in relief.
So that's what you get. So all the pitchers, like the top pitchers on the Red Sox, all were making news last night. Chris Sale is in the hospital for a stomach thing that we can get to. David Price, I don't think was good, but again, the team won. Craig Kimbrell is super shaky. And then meanwhile, Rick Porcello is turning into a dominant setup guy. Like, that's a great weapon to use, similar to what they did in the first series. And now Eovaldi will go in game three, and Porcello, I assume, will go in game four.
Yeah, my question is, who's going to go in game five?
I guess it's going to come down to Sale.
Because I don't believe they're going to tell you the truth. I think that they're going to obviously kind of, you know, fudge around a little bit. I don't know if it was a stomach bug. I haven't heard of too many times when you get hospitalized for a stomach bug.
I have not, no. I can't think of...
And when the series is all over, then we'll hear, yeah, well, what we were really dealing with was this and this and this. I don't know.
Like, was he dealing with it when he was starting too, I wonder? Like, I don't know if it's a coincidence that he's throwing 90 and not locating.
Or
78. And then the next day he's in the hospital. Because he went in that afternoon. Like, we didn't get the report till later on, but he went in that afternoon. So he wasn't at the ballpark with the team. Like, that's a strange one. But he's not supposed to pitch until Thursday.
Right.
So... like, I don't know if we gotten word if he even flew with the team yet, or I don't. I have no idea what's going on with Chris Sale.
I don't think he did, because supposedly they were keeping him overnight. They left last night,
okay,
didn't they?
So, yeah, so then he's probably still here. So, I don't know. Yeah, that's a strange one. But, and you know there's going to be a game five, so you wonder what's going on with him. But something for everybody last night. I mean, every single pitcher, every single guy in the lineup, there was a lot to get to, but... You'll take a split, especially after the way the first game went and after the way Chris Sale looked.
And then the game on my iPad was right here at Gillette Stadium. And we were joking last week about the over-under was 60.
Oh, yeah.
They sort of blew by that, didn't they?
A little low. Yeah, I mean, the offenses were both great. And, you know, the defense for the Patriots was limiting Kansas City to field goals a lot in the first half.
First half, they looked really good, I thought.
They were doing a great job there. And then the big plays is what got them.
I will say about Patrick Mahomes, and I said last week, you know, he is starting to regress to the mean a little bit.
Yeah.
He had his two previous appearances. He certainly did in the first half last night.
Yeah.
And then the second half he came out and just looked like slinging Sammy Ball.
I mean, some of the throws that he can make. Now,
he might be the best in the NFL at throwing on the run. There may not be anybody better.
Because he can put so much on it. Like, that's what's impressive, is he looks like he's off balance, but then he can just throw these darts. And I think part of what's going to get him into problems is how good his arm is. And that's why, like, the comparisons to Favre is because Favre thinks he can make every throw. And Mahomes probably can make every throw. But there are times where he should just, you know, throw it away. Or certainly, I mean, it's a cliche, but, like, don't throw across your body. Like, don't do that. And then he does it, and he gets – sometimes he's going to get into trouble. So the Patriots made him pay a couple of times, but – I think if you're Kansas City, you got to feel pretty good that he didn't just turtle. Like, he didn't throw a couple picks and then panic. No. He came right back at you.
On Peter King's Football Night in America, the column that he wrote for this morning, the Chiefs were basically saying, you know, we could have scored 50 or 60. If you think about it, they scored 40, and he had a really poor first half.
Oh, the end of the first half.
Made some mistakes,
they left
a couple of interceptions.
They left points on the board there, yeah.
You know, their thought process was, you know, we could have scored 50 or 60 against that team.
Well, so I was doing a lot of thinking last night, Dale. It was a good time to reflect. No, well, I was going back. I'll tell you what. When both games were in a commercial,
you could breathe.
No, not really. I was like, I need something else. Like, I think it might have been the ADD. I don't know what it is, but I'm like, I need a third thing. Like, what else is on? Like, I can't watch two commercials. I'm so used to going back.
What's
and
on HGTV right now?
I need to find something.
Bargain
else.
Beach Hunt or something.
I need to do something else. But we were talking a lot last week about how the NFL is just making it easier and easier and easier on quarterbacks, and how the league wants points, and will there ever be a pushback for it? So last night is the perfect example. It's 43-40, and I loved it.
It was great.
I loved it.
It's what the NFL is convinced you want, I want, what everybody who was in this stadium
wants.
But
isn't that telling? You have two of the three or four best offenses in football. You have, in Kansas City, one of the worst defenses. The Patriots, I would say, right now are probably in the middle of the pack somewhere. But don't you want to see that game again? Don't you want to see those two teams playing the playoffs? And it might be 43-40 again.
You know, in mid-January, it won't be quite the same conditions. You won't see the same offensive firepower.
You might.
You don't know.
I have a hard time imagining Kansas City stopping the Patriots and then really kind of vice versa. But
that is an awful run defense.
Awful.
I mean,
atrocious.
You felt like every time they ran the ball, they were getting 6-7 yards a crack.
Well, and going into the game, it was a staggering stat. The Kansas City Chiefs defense was allowing 7.1 yards per play on first down. What? Like that's...
And it looked like that all night long.
Yeah, it was. They could really do whatever they wanted. And, you know, Brady had the terrible, terrible play, which was very uncharacteristic, where...
That was just a mental mistake on his part.
He just held on to the ball forever.
Way
so he had
too
good
long.
Protection, but it was really good coverage. It was a rare time where the Chiefs covered, and then, you know... Actually, the play before, he almost threw an interception, and then that play, he gets sacked and fumbles, and you're like, who is this guy? Like, this does not look like Brady. But then he was able to snap out of it. But not a lot of plays made defensively. But if you had to choose, I think most fans feel this way, not all of them, but if you had to choose between, you know, 13-10 or 43-40, I think you're taking 43-40. You know, the other stat...
As long as you win.
No punts, and then Dale, I didn't even realize this.
They set an NFL record last night, the Patriots
yes.
did, became the first team in NFL history to not have a punt or a penalty in
incredible?
An entire football game.
No penalties. I mean, that is...
No punts, yeah. No penalties. I mean, and you think about, you know, the long pass plays, it's just
no pass
set up to get
yeah.
a pass interference right. penalty at some point.
Well, some of them, they weren't even near the receiver, so hard to interfere.
And
when,
Devin McCourty's faster than you think, though, isn't
Devin
he?
Devin McCourty's fast. Tyreek Hill's faster. Tyreek Hill is ridiculously fast.
Quick interjection here
yes.
about Tyreek Hill.
Yes.
Whoever the double-digit IQ is who threw the beer in Tyreek Hill's face,
come on.
I want him banned from this place for life.
Yes. Now, I will say, if anybody deserves to have beer thrown on him, it is Tyreek Hill, who's a terrible
no
person.
No one deserves it.
Tyreek Hill?
No.
Do a Bing search on Tyreek Hill.
No.
Terrible
human. The problem is...
You can't do it. I'm with you. You can't.
Makes
no,
us
know,
all look bad.
No, I know. You can't throw stuff at players. You cannot do that. I'm with you on that. You can't throw beer at him. You can't do whatever. The girl giving him the double birds,
well,
I'm all for that.
That's a prom queen candidate right there.
Tyreek Hill is like the scum of the universe. Like, look up Tyreek Hill and what he did there. First of all, he got kicked out of Oklahoma State. Do you know what it takes to get kicked out of like a Big 12 school?
Murder one.
It's pretty impressive. Well, he tried, essentially. He choked and beat his pregnant girlfriend, punched her in the face and the stomach multiple times.
Yeah.
And pled guilty. He was like, yeah, I did that. What? Now, I mean, that's the way the NFL is. He's not in jail, so he's on a team. He's a very talented guy. But, yeah, I don't think we should really forget what Tyreek Hill's about. If there was video of Tyreek Hill.
That's probably true.
You're probably right. Because people.
Even though he said he did it.
He said he did it, and people can read it.
That's still not good enough.
But, no, we read what Ray Rice did, and a lot of people were like, oh, that's too bad. Two games. And then you saw the video, they're like, oh, my God, never in the league again. So you're right. Tyreek Hill has that. That's always going to be a part of his story. But him on the field, it's like a different level of speed. Because all those guys out there are fast. Like, everybody in the center
sure.
is fast. All the receivers
are fast. Well, except
Brady. Brady's not. But all the skill guys.
Yeah, okay.
All the guys on the outside there are fast. And then he gets the ball, and it just he turns on the Jets. Like, that one play, the touchdown that he had, there, the 75-yard one, Daron Harmon's playing super deep. And then just takes, like, a bad angle, and then boom, he's like,
Troy Brown tweeted out, GTFB.
Yeah.
Which is the
but
old
he was.
The old Bill Belichick
was,
line.
He was back. It didn't matter. But, yeah, those guys, I mean, what a matchup that it was. I mean, you look at the skill guys on both sides. Look at the quarterbacks on both sides. Tough night for defense all around. I mean, you give up 40 and win. Like, that's you don't see that very
As
often.
As Brady said post-game in the interview that he did, you know, I don't care if we win 13-10 or 43-40. You know, the win is the win, and that's what matters. And that is true.
Yeah.
But from an entertainment point of view, if you're just a fan of the game.
Oh, I loved it.
That's as good as it gets.
I loved it. I thought there was a chance. Like, you know what, maybe the offense is too much. And it is. Like, it's really unfair to play defense. But I go back a few weeks ago, that Vikings-Rams game on Thursday night, and it was just score, 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 score. And I'm like, oh, this is pretty good, though. And so they're not going to go the other way anyway. So this is the new NFL. Get used to it. Points all on top of points. You know, you're going to get teams scoring 30s and losing more often than not.
I actually felt bad for the poor Kansas City player on the Brady touchdown run, because he was absolutely the victim of the way the NFL is protecting quarterbacks now.
Yeah.
He had him around the waist.
Yeah.
He said afterwards he thought Brady threw it. So he's got to let go, or they're going to get him. They're going to flag him.
Yeah,
and you know Brady ends up.
Should have. Yeah, and that's poor awareness. I would say. I don't know what that's
doing. He couldn't see. Obviously, his head's down. He's wrapping him up. And,
yeah, I mean, but that. So he lets him go, and then Brady finishes it off. Kind of an awkward little 2-yard run, but
no,
he got in there.
It looked like a full sprint.
Got a touchdown. So he'll take it, but. Yeah, that was I think you're going to see that around the league, too. You're going to see a lot of defensive linemen sort of wrapping up and then being afraid to tackle.
And then
it's unfair because some of these quarterbacks, even ones as mobile or not mobile as Brady, can still make you pay if you let go like that.
We got a bunch of stuff, obviously, we'll talk about today. Baseball and football will both be on the docket, even though it's Patriots Monday and we're here at Gillette. Trey Flowers is going to join us at 11:30. We're not sure if it's James White or Julian
James
Edelman.
White.
It is James
it
White.
It is James
okay.
White. Around the same time, it sounds like, in that 11 o'clock hour.
So somewhere
like.
In there.
Yeah.
Rob Ninkovich will join us at noon here in studio. And we'll talk a lot about both teams with you guys at 617-779-7937. It was the best sports night I can remember outside of a championship winning night. It was that impressive. You had the Kansas City Chiefs who came to town undefeated and left with a loss. You had the Houston Astros who came to town undefeated in the playoffs and left with a loss. And
yeah,
it was as good as it gets.
Pretty good. You have the two best teams in the AFC and then the two best teams in Major League Baseball. That's what you had.
Not bad. In your town in the same night.
Both in your town and both ended up getting wins, and they were both competitive games. There was a lot to like about both of them.
We return to Patriots Monday and Dale and Keith right now on WEEI.
They're going to win, but I think Kansas City scores high 30s as well.
I don't.
Shootout City.
Yeah, I don't think they score that high.
Really? You don't like Patrick Mahomes. You don't like Patrick Mahomes.
I think Patrick Mahomes is coming back to earth a little bit.
I think maybe I'll take Kansas City with the points? Question mark?
How to be definitive.
Yeah, it's one of those weird ones. I got the Patriots winning but not covering.
Genius.
How do you like that, Dale? It was all over it. The confidence there that I showed
was overwhelming.
Was a bit strong.
I think maybe I'll take Kansas City with the points? Question mark?
It worked out. 3.5-point spread. Patriots win by 3. That means the Chiefs cover. It's a fine line there. I said Pats by 1, 2, or 3. And it was. I'm a genius.
You're a genius.
I'm definitive.
And for the first half, I thought I was a genius, too, about Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, yeah.
Because he sure looked
pretty pedestrian
in the first half. Second half, he looked like Superman.
He looked a lot different there in the second half.
By the way, is that Jacksonville defense elite still?
Yes. I think it is still elite.
After yesterday?
I know.
Still?
They got torched. I know they did. Bortles didn't help them out. There's a lot of short fields there. But, I think they still are. Everybody can have a bad day.
Sorry, Mark James.
How about the Dolphins have Brock Osweiler and get a win? Brock Osweiler against
Brock-tober.
The Bears.
It's Brocktober.
It is Brocktober. And he comes in. I was like, oh, boy, it's going to be all Bears. It wasn't. Yeah, so the NFL's
That's
wacky.
Your opponent next week.
The Bears. Cleveland Mack and
the Bears.
Mitchell Trubisky, who seems like an actual quarterback now. A couple of good weeks now. Trubisky's not bad. So they'll get that. Now, it's not the Chiefs' offense by any means. You're not going to face an offense better than the Chiefs' offense.
Unless you play the Patriots.
Let's play the Patriots. They don't play the Rams. I mean, the Rams are probably on that level, too. But this offense that you just saw.
Rex Ryan said this morning on Get Up. Don't give me a hard time.
Dale, here he is again.
So he said this morning, don't just pencil the Chiefs and Patriots in for that AFC championship game. Because he says the Chargers are a team.
Oh, he likes the Chargers.
Yeah.
Chargers went into Cleveland, smacked them around yesterday.
Cleveland looked pretty normal.
Cleveland looked.
Doing Cleveland things.
Back to Cleveland. But. Yeah, I mean, also, you can't pencil in Patriots-Chiefs because it is Andy Reid's Chiefs. Like, great regular season, struggles in the postseason, always has. You know, had the one Super Bowl run, obviously, but then fell apart there when it mattered the most. So, yeah, I think that's fair. You can't pencil in the Chiefs, but maybe you're thinking another quarterback, a little bit different, you know, can they get over that hump? Can they win a couple of games in the playoffs? I still think right now those are the two best teams. The two teams we saw last night, that's the two best teams in the AFC. Maybe the Jaguars bounce back. I don't know. Maybe somebody in the AFC North. I don't see it right now. And I guess maybe the Chargers.
So the two streaks that continued last night, quarterbacks under 25 at Foxborough are now 0-24. And Brady Edelman, when they play together at home against the AFC, are now, 37-0?
Yeah. And David Price's winless streak also rolls on.
So it was.
All of those stats continue. Yeah, Edelman and Brady, those numbers are off the charts. So that continues. And all the different ones that we've heard about the young quarterbacks. Or there's the other one It was quarterbacks making their first start against the Patriots in Foxborough or whatever. There's all these different ones. They're all very impressive, and they're all very in favor of the Pats.
All right, let's get to the calls with you guys at 617-779-7937. Oh, real quickly, Chris Curtis said this morning the Red Sox game in Boston last night was going to end up somewhere around 21, 22.
For a rating?
Peaked at 25 during halftime of the Patriots game.
Wow.
The Patriots game in Boston did, a 34?
Okay. So they didn't double them up.
No,
I thought they were going to double them up. Pretty good.
The baseball did remarkably well, all things considered.
And the key to that whole thing was they had an hour and 10 minutes before football started, and the game was really close and compelling. You weren't going to turn that off at 8:20. You were going to do what everybody else did and have the double setup.
I would love to know how many people were doing what we were doing, watching both games at the exact same time.
90%.
Outside of sports bars, where I know they're on.
Yeah.
But how many people in their homes were doing what we were doing, trying to watch both?
I mean, if you're a fan of both, then you certainly worse, so like 90%. Now, there are some that are just diehard football fans that maybe they don't care as much, or diehard baseball fans, they don't care as much, or, you know, you don't have the... I think most people now even have the ability. Even if you don't have two TVs, you can even watch on your phone. Like, it's not the screen that you would like, but you can at least put the game on. I bet most were doing that.
All right, 617-779-7937. Rick is in Plymouth. Hey, Rick.
How you doing, Dale? I had a... Had both games on last night. My wife wanted the remote, and that wasn't going to friggin' happen.
No chance.
No, she wanted to watch more baseball than football, and I said no. Hmm. Anyways, there's one play. Have we gone too far with the rules on protecting the quarterbacks? Because
yes.
There was a play last night that I think deliberately cost the Chiefs the game. And it's the play where the guy was in the grasp of Tom Brady, and he was afraid to throw him down because he didn't realize that Brady still had the ball. And he lets him go, and Brady scores. And
right.
All of a sudden, the rules are now affecting the outcome of games, and that's just wrong.
Yeah, I don't like it either. I don't like how protected the quarterbacks are, but on the other hand, I get it. Like, I know why they're doing it.
All you have to do is look at the two quarterbacks and how they played last night.
Yeah, and it's...
And you see 83 points up on the board. And
so there, for another example, so tonight the 49ers are playing. There's not going to be nearly the excitement because
Jimmy's hurt.
Because Jimmy Garoppolo's hurt. And so before you had... they have a game coming up in a few weeks that they were supposed to play on Sunday night. Already got flexed out because of C.J. Beathard. And that one was not a rules one. That was Jimmy Garoppolo trying to stay in bounds and make a play. But anytime you lose that quarterback, people don't care as much. So you're trying to protect them. So I understand why they do it. I do feel bad for the defense. Like, they don't give
There's
them,
nothing you can do.
There's nothing you can do. Can't hit them high. Got it. Can't hit them low. Got it. Can't land on
them. Wait a minute, though. I say that. And yet, I'm looking at a team down the hall here that seems to have figured all this stuff out. They don't
just,
take roughing the quarterback penalties.
They just
don't
give up 40 points.
But they also didn't take a penalty.
I know, but maybe because they can't be that aggressive.
No, I'm talking about how they don't take penalties against quarterbacks. They have figured out, no, you can't do this. You can do that. You got to let them go here. You can play there.
They also didn't sack them. You know what I'm saying? Like, they gave up 40 points.
They hit him a few times.
They got him. Oh, they hit him a couple times. They forced, you know, those interceptions were a great job defensively, but they didn't even sack him. I just think that it's really difficult. Even the good defenses, and there's fewer and fewer of them, like, the rules make it so the offense just has the advantage, and it's not just the quarterback. It's everywhere.
Peter's in Attleboro. Hey, Peter, how you doing?
Hey, good morning, guys. I was just listening to you talking about the ratings for the games. I work at the stadium, at the broadcast booth, at the on the main concourse, they were showing the Red Sox game on half of the monitors that are on the main concourse. So
good for them.
Nice.
And there were also people coming up to me and telling me they were watching the games on their phones. They were watching the Red Sox game at the Patriots game.
Oh, of course.
I saw somebody tweet out sitting in the seats here and holding his phone and had the Sox game on.
Yeah.
I don't blame him. I mean,
yeah.
I actually was offered tickets for last night's game. A friend of mine has got tickets. And I said, unfortunately, I really feel like I have to watch both games.
Yeah.
And I declined the opportunity to be here last night just so that I could sit at home and do what I did last night.
Well, I'll tell you, that's the thing is the deeper and deeper the Red Sox play, you know, the more overlap there's going to be. And so the last couple of years, even though they made the playoffs, there wasn't as many opportunities. Whereas now, even tomorrow night, it's not the you know the Celtics opening night first game. Now I know it doesn't have the same implication as a playoff game or even a game necessarily against Kansas City week 6.
But the good news is the Red Sox play at 5.
Oh, that's right. They don't play the 8 o'clock
game. They play at 5 tomorrow.
Never mind. I was thinking I would have to do the double setup again. Oh, that's even better.
They're going
to Perfect.
You know, it, at least be most of the way through the game by the time the Celtics tip off.
But then, so you're just going to have, the longer they play, you know, the more it's going to be, the head-to-head with something, or at least sharing the day. So they're sharing the day with the Celtics. The Bruins are back in action on Wednesday, so they're going to be sharing the day again. And if they play, correct me if I'm wrong, is game seven on Sunday, if they were to play a game seven? I think it's Sunday.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And Saturday is at 5 o'clock, too, if I remember right.
So I mean,
well, that's depending on the NLCS.
If they're still playing. Right.
But it's just, I mean, they're dominating the schedule now, and it's great.
Mike's in Providence. Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
All morning
I've been hearing that, you know, Brady almost getting sacked and the guy letting him go cost the Chiefs the game. But on that play, there was holding on the defense. So even if he gets sacked there, it's first and goal from the 2-yard line. No one has talked about that all morning.
Yeah, I don't think it necessarily cost them the game either. Like, I mean, there was still a lot of football left to be played, so I don't think it would have.
But a holding penalty on the defense, automatic first down. They were on the 4-yard line. I mean, they got first and goal from the 2. The way the offense was going in that game, I'm pretty sure they're going to score a touchdown.
Yeah, I would say Sonny Michel probably gets in there.
The way he was running, it seemed like they could hardly ever stop him, and
I don't think it cost them the game. I do think it's a big story, though, just in the sense that this is in the heads of defensive players, and there's a great example of what could have been a stop, and whatever, there was a penalty there, but just specifically, Brady wouldn't have scored a touchdown maybe even like 2 years ago. Like if a normal play, even if he gets rid of it, I'm gonna finish the play here, I'm still gonna take him down. But that would have been a tackle, but I'm saying even if he had gotten rid of the ball, used to see linebackers and defensive ends finish the play and take the quarterback down.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We will talk with both James White and Trey Flowers next hour. Rob Ninkovich will join us in studio here at noon. Allow me, if you will, one real brief moment here. You guys all know about my Nesson colleague, John Martin, who found out 2 years ago that he was diagnosed with ALS. He and the people who love and support him spawned the Cafe Martin hats that you've seen everywhere. Thursday night at the Garden, I interviewed John's wife, Adrian, and Pete Frady's dad, John, as the 50-50 drawing Thursday night was there to benefit ALS research. You know how insidious this disease is. You know how awful it is. John Martin passed away yesterday. Almost 2 years to the day that he found out about his diagnosis. He was a remarkable guy and withstood the ravages of this disease with as much humor and dignity as is humanly possible. And his wife, Adrian, who was a rock, and his daughters did everything they could do to make him as comfortable as they could. It is a tough loss for those of us who work in the Boston TV media. The Boston TV media in particular really kind of rallied around this guy. You saw Cafe Martin hats
everywhere.
On guys from NBC Sports Boston
and
4, 5, 7, 25. Everybody was wearing them. Everybody supported him. Everybody was trying to help as best they could. But unfortunately, John lost his battle with ALS yesterday, and he will be missed by all of us who knew and loved him.
Non-stop wall-to-wall coverage of the Patriots. We're back with Dale and Keith on WEEI.
Tom Brady is the clutchest player in the history of sports, and you saw it again last night in a fourth quarter in which, once again, Tom Brady saved Bill Belichick's defense. Simple as that. Boil down to that. Bill Belichick's defense, once that kid got in gear and got in sync after a shaky first half, Patrick Mahomes was sensational in the second half, mainly because Belichick's defense is pretty sorry. It's pretty below average sorry. And do you realize Kansas City put up 31 points in the second half in Foxborough against Bill Belichick's defense? And Tom Brady saved the night once again.
I just don't even know where to start with them.
I mean, it looked like a sorry defense in the second half. You could say that.
First half, they looked great.
I wouldn't describe it as a sorry defense. Yeah, that's what he wants to say.
It's funny because we were talking amongst ourselves before the show today, and we said, you know, we're going to talk to James White and Trey Flowers sometime in the next hour. And my guess is they're going to be decidedly different in how they look at what happened last night.
I would assume. A win's a win.
Absolutely.
You'll take the win, but when they hung 40 on you as a defense, maybe you shouldn't be celebrating. Not that they are. I'm just saying it's hard to get too excited. A lot of tape to look at. A lot of things to get
which is probably what Trey will tell us.
Yeah, but what it is crazy when he's talking about how clutch Brady is, and I think a lot of us take it for granted in the sense that when the Chiefs scored and the Tyreek Hill
and there was 3 minutes left, I said, oh, they're absolutely going to score here.
Nobody thought for a second they were going to overtime.
In fact,
or
I thought they were eating too much time inside the 2 minute warning, and and they're out at midfield and
But that's amazing. Like, how many teams have that? Like, how many fan bases feel that way? Under three minutes to go, tie game. Everybody knew they were going to win. Everybody. I was like, oh, yeah, they're going to go down. Are they going to kick a field goal?
I would have been stunned if they hadn't won.
Yes, me too. I'm like, how long is the field goal going to be? Like, that was kind of the question. Or maybe they'll even score a touchdown because Kansas City's defense is so bad. But then a couple of big plays by Gronk, and the next thing you know, a little chip shot field goal, and the game's over. Like, that should have been – it should have been more on the edge of your seat than it even was, because as soon as they scored, you looked at the clock, and you're like, oh, there's a ton of time there.
Like, way too much.
Tyreek Hill should have gone out of bounds.
My guess is Andy Reid was also thinking, oh, yeah. No.
Andy Reid has no idea. He's looking at the clock. He's like, is that good?
That was another thing Rex Ryan was talking about this morning. He said, I've been on the sideline in that position.
Yeah.
He said, and you feel helpless. You just know what he's doing.
What are you gonna
do? Know what he's going to do, and there's nothing you can do to stop him. And that's
right
how Andy Reid felt.
Oh, yeah. He's like, well, we made it a game. I mean, they got to be
all
happy
right,
with
call the last time out. What the hell? Just call it here.
It doesn't matter. And he just goes right down the field. And that's why the very few times that Brady doesn't do that, you're in shock. Like, it's more the other way. You're like, oh, my God, he didn't go down.
Wait a minute.
March down.
Why stopped?
Why didn't you score? You had a timeout. Why didn't you go down there? You had the two-minute warning. You didn't find a way to score? So they do that last night. That's the one thing that if they do face Kansas City again, like if this is a playoff matchup, you kind of get the sense, unless there's a drastic change defensively for either team, it's the classic whoever has the ball last is going to win. Because you can't trust either team to make a stop. And
they kept showing Mahomes on the sidelines during Brady's last drive, and you could just see the look on his face like, oh, really?
Like, oh, whoops. It's like we were really celebrating that touchdown to Tyreek Hill, but, you know, maybe not. Maybe there's way too much time left on the clock, and he just goes right down the field and, you know, kicks the field goal, and that was it. But it was an exciting game, and it looked early on, to your point, that, all right, maybe Mahomes is, you know, not going to come in here and sling it around like we thought that he would, and so it was a slow start for him, but then he certainly got going.
Tony's in Connecticut. Hey, Tony.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
How are you?
Good. First of all, I want to say congratulations to both Boston teams for the way they played last night.
Yes.
And I just wonder if you guys could talk a little bit about the Patriots didn't seem to want to put the ball deep into the end zone on the kickoffs. And right from the beginning, it seemed like a bad idea to let them run the ball out.
Yeah, and after the last one, they said, all right, to heck with that. Put it through the back of the end zone from now on.
Right. As soon as you ran it back for a touchdown, they were like, oh, okay, maybe that was a bad idea. I mean, why was there something I was missing that I didn't see? Because it seemed like every time they did it, they were going way past the 20 or 25-yard line with it, and it just seemed like they were one guy away from breaking it every time.
Yeah, I think they get too cute with it. Like, honestly, I think they really do.
Because they're usually really good at it.
Well, they do.
I always look at the 25, and when the tackle's made, I always go, okay, -4. Okay, -6. You know,
but
occasionally
you
it's +1,
sometimes.
+2, but they generally think that they're going to get the guy before he gets to the 25 when they do that.
I know. I feel like the risk-reward, though, you know, between – all right, they're starting the drive at the 20 or the 21, and you had to go down there and make a play compared to just always starting at the 25, or every once in a while you start at the 45, or you start at your 5. Or, you know, I mean, there's too much of a risk there. And I know you're trying to get every single advantage possible, and I understand why Belichick does it, because they changed the rules a few years ago, and they're just hoping that every team is just going to blast kickoff after kickoff after kickoff. And so he's trying to outsmart them. He said, all right, we can pooch it down to the 2, and then they have to run it out, and then we're going to make a play. But is it really worth it? Are those 3 yards worth the occasional 30 yards that you're giving back? I would just do kickoffs or touchbacks every time.
Mike's in Framingham. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing? Keep on bringing up this Brady thing with the when the guy had him in the grass. Is that just for the 1970s? If the quarterback already threw the ball, you can't slam him. The guy thought he already threw the ball. Okay, it would have been a penalty. I remember, like, over 10 years ago, I think it was Matias Kiwanuka had Vince Young. And that was over 10 years ago. He thought Vince Young threw the ball. He let him go. So this isn't anything new. People act like this is something that just happened, like, this year.
Yeah, but I think a lot of guys would. I mean, you picked out one example, but I think a lot of times if a guy has the ball and he throws it and the guy is still wrapped up, they would usually bring him down. Now, they wouldn't slam. If you slam them, that's a little bit different. You see Danny Amendola.
Danny Amendola took the pile driver.
Absolutely slammed. But, no, I mean, he's got. First of all, he needs to know that he still has the ball. Like, that's the other thing. Everyone's like, oh, the rule changes. Like, well, you need to know. You need to have an idea if the guy still has the ball or not.
Yeah, don't have your head down. You're supposed to have your head up anyway. So that's on him.
All right. Yeah, no, I mean, right. I mean, I think the rules are part of it, and that's a bigger discussion.
But I do think that defensive players are so worried about drawing a penalty against quarterbacks now. The T.J. Watts fine, the $20,000 fine for the low hit. I mean, you look at the play and you go, that cost him $20,000 for that?
It's nuts.
If you're a defensive player now, you're paranoid.
Yeah, I don't know why you'd want to play defense. I don't know why you would. I mean, at this point, maybe it's too late.
You're not good enough to play offense?
No, you can. You can figure it out. You can play both. You don't think that defensive lineman can be offensive lineman? You put on a little extra weight. Put on a few more pounds. Be an offensive lineman. You'll be fine.
Like Trent Brown.
Put on a lot more weight.
A lot more.
And get a lot taller.
Put
and you'll be Trent Brown.
100.
Yes, then you're good to go.
Because he is a mountain.
He's huge. And I'm impressed that, like, his conditioning or anything like that hasn't been in question, really. 6 weeks in.
Hasn't been an issue.
I was wondering, like, is he going to be able to keep up with this offense? And people were wondering that. And even during camp, they were like, well, that may not be a strength of his, you know, his stamina or his endurance. But hasn't been a problem. They haven't really missed a beat.
Janine is in Lowell. Hey, Janine.
Janine?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm just calling about how I watched the games yesterday on my TV at home.
Yeah, how'd you do it?
Well, what I did was I scheduled both games to tape on my DVR.
Sure.
Started watching the Red Sox.
Uh-huh.
Then switched back to the Patriots when they had a commercial.
Right.
Then switched back to the Patriots when they had a commercial. And I was able to fast forward through all the commercials.
Right.
So I didn't miss a thing.
I love it.
You're way smarter than me.
That's pretty good. Pretty good, Janine. So you were able to use just one television set, but watch both games in their entirety.
Exactly.
Smart.
And I didn't miss a thing.
Pretty good.
I told
pretty
you, smart,
good.
Smarter than me.
Pretty
I mean,
good.
And the other thing is, as I found out, when you're watching both at the same time,
yeah.
Forget about Twitter. You don't have time. It's,
I was trying
much,
to fire out some
there
tweets.
There was too much stuff going on.
I was trying to tweet. The problem is, one of the TVs, or one of the screens, I should say, is on that 30-second delay. So you might be tweeting, and people are like, yeah, where have you been?
Yeah,
yeah, I remember that touchdown. It happened 5 minutes ago. But I'm like, oh, that just happened for the first time over here on my screen. But no, I mean, that was as good as it gets. I mean, that was just a lot of fun trying to figure out which ones we were going to watch. Both were extremely competitive, and then they both win, so not bad.
I'm sure that in the spring, we've had Bruins and Celtics playoff games that have coincided at some point
yep,
or another.
We definitely have.
But nothing that felt like last night.
No, last night was different. Even though it was a regular season game for the Patriots, it was as good or as...
As big a regular
yeah,
season
it really
game,
was.
Too.
I mean, it was Sunday Night Football, like that helps. But then the opponent, I mean, that's the team right now, at least through the first 5 weeks of the season, in the AFC. If you could have any opponent that would make it a big game, you know, forget the other rivalries or, you know, what teams they hate. It was the Chiefs. I mean, Patriots, after a couple of weeks where their offense started to light it up a little bit, yeah, that was as big of a week six game as you're going to find.
Bob's on the cell phone. Hey, Bob.
Hey, guys. You know, something I haven't heard folks talk about in the post-game analysis was that squib kick. I think it was in the first half of the Patriots. Oh, I would say botched squib kick.
Yeah,
actually.
Awful.
It just struck me. I mean, basically, we were sort of handing, you know, the Chiefs 3 points, and what turned out, you know, to be what could have been a really critical 3 points. Ultimately, didn't matter. But I guess I just wondered, you know, when almost every time Gostkowski can pin it, you know, deep in the end zone, why even do squib kick? What's I've never really understood. You know, unless they have just one of the best guys back there ever to run the ball back, whatever the opponent is, whoever the opponent is, why do squib kicks? I don't get it.
I don't get it either. I don't. Or rugby kicks. We've seen those in the past. I wouldn't do any of that stuff. I think they're outthinking it. I think Belichick is the smartest football guy of all time, and he's trying to get any advantage at any point, whether it's kickoff, whether it's punt block, whatever it is, he's trying to find an advantage. He thinks there is an advantage to that. I think they should just kick it through the end zone. Start it at the 25. I mean, it's such a good offense anyway. So if they start at the 20 or the 21, is that really such a victory for you? But now if they're starting at midfield, it's like, forget about it. They're a play away from field goal range.
To the point about Gostkowski, you know, and we've talked about this from time to time in the past. you've had two kickers here over 20 years, and both have been remarkable. One is going to the Hall of Fame. Adam Vinatieri at some point is going to go in the Hall of Fame. I don't think Stephen Gostkowski is going to be in the Hall of Fame, but
solid kicker. Yeah.
You know, the 50-yard field goal in the fourth was just nails.
Oh, by the way, the NBC thing they have
where they tell you how far it would have been.
What are we doing? Are we spending money on that? Is that really a good investment?
Somebody came up with something
that's so
here.
Dumb. It's like,
that would have been good from 57.
Yeah, I know. I could tell. I could see where it landed. I had a pretty good idea where it was going to go. Like, I'm all for technology adding to the broadcast, but we really need this kicker thing now. They're like, oh, this is how fast
Apex,
the ball is going.
Apex was 74 feet.
Would have been good from 57. Oh, is that right, Chris? 57? Holy smokes. That was the dumbest.
So the fact
add-on.
That it went in from 48 is not a good thing?
No, like, that's what he's trying to do. Great. He goes, back him up. Back him up. He can it from even further away. They have all these little stupid graphics up there. I'm like, that. I don't need that.
I think that at some point during the off season, they all sit in a room somewhere and say, we got to think up something new.
What else can we do?
We got to have, let's make this part of the field green.
They're like,
I know we have the yellow first down line,
green?
But let's do a green swath in the middle of the field now.
I don't really need the green. I think the first down line, whoever invented the first down line,
genius.
They're a genius.
Oh, that was.
I love the first down line.
And I remember
line.
After it first came out, you'd come to a game here at Gillette, and you'd, where's the line?
Where's the line?
Where is it?
How much do they need? Where are they going? The first down line is perfect. I don't need a green zone. I don't need the first down zone.
I didn't quite get why they thought that was necessary.
No, because you already have the line. We got it. There's the first down. That's what they need to get to the first down. They're like, well, we're going to shade this in a different color. Don't need it.
No, we're good.
Don't
I see that.
Thank you.
See that yellow line?
I got it. I can put it together. That one may not come back next year.
But they're really hooked on this. Would have been good from 57.
Would have been good for, if you could believe it. That thing would have been good from 57. Like, I don't need to see a replay of the field goal. Once the field goal is in, great. Yeah. Let's move on to something else. Like, let's break it down again, another angle.
You see that the guy kick. At the lighthouse end who holds up the big target
yes.
there?
Yeah.
And I always try to see if Gostkowski hits the target.
He's aiming for it, usually. I think it helps him.
That's the only thing I need to know. Tim's down on the Cape. Hey, Tim.
How you doing?
Hey, what's going on?
Points in regards to illegal hits. It happened to Cooper Kupp yesterday. He got horse collared. He's probably done for the year. And the guy gets a 15-yard penalty. Has there ever been any talk about?
You know that he came back and played later in the game, right?
No, I thought. Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. So I'm just using it as a reference point, though.
Okay.
For the same thing, Brandon Cooks got smoked in the Super Bowl last year. Got smoked again this year, in the beginning of the year. Lost the ball.
Okay.
It's an illegal hit. It's a fumble. The other team gets to get the ball, and this guy's out of the game for the rest of the game. So, two parts of it. It's like, why should the other team get the ball when they make an illegal hit like that, and knock a guy out?
Well, if they call the horse collar, then it's a penalty. But
a penalty. But But my point was more to the. I thought he was out for the game. I thought he blew it his knee. I thought he was gone for the season. Actually, I didn't watch the rest of it. But the point is, if you do knock a player out on an illegal hit. Why shouldn't he be knocked out for the rest of the game too?
That's not how it works. I mean, if now in the league, if you have two personal foul penalties, they'll toss you from the game. So they have changed that.
You hit a guy in the helmet and you knock him out of the game. You know, you take
so then you should be out? No, I hate that because then guys can fake injury. You can have the worst player on the team, can get hit by the best player on the other team, and then they're both out of the game.
I thought Tim's argument was going to be. That if I come in and I get called for a helmet-to-helmet blow and you fumble the ball on that, you shouldn't have to give up the ball. I took a penalty. I thought that's where Tim was going.
Yeah. Isn't that the case? Or is that not the case?
I don't know. I think that's what he was getting at.
No,
was
but
that
now he's
you shouldn't
about...
lose the fumble if you fumbled it because of an illegal act.
Yeah, but I mean, call me crazy, but if they call a horse collar and you fumble, you don't lose the ball, right? That's a penalty on them, and then you still get the ball.
I believe you're right.
Right? So I don't know what we're talking about there.
He thought Cooper Kupp was done for the year.
No, he's not. But he's talking about eye for an eye justice here.
Well, there's something to be said for that.
That happens all the time. We get that argument every
single
hockey season.
In fact, I think that you probably like that.
I do like eye for an eye, there's ways to
eye for an eye
that.
And carry a grudge.
but there are ways to fake that. There's no way to police that 100%. So say, for example, let's see, like D. Ford – takes out, like Chris Hogan, like a crossing pattern. He steps out, he's out. Now Hogan's out. You're like, all right, well, D. Ford can't play now because Hogan's out. You could fake an injury and you could cut. Like, it doesn't make any sense. You can't keep track of all that.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.